the OTB Podcast Network.
Delighted to welcome Daniel Lambert, Chief Operating Officer of Bowes, and Stewie Byrne, League of Ireland legend, to the show. Good morning, lads.
Morning,
Ron.
Daniel, you might start with yourself. I guess in a weird way, the last few days have proven that the soul of football actually kind of matters at the end of the day.
Yeah, that absolutely does. I think, it's funny that it's taken this. For me as a League of Ireland fan, I look towards the game globally, and particularly in the UK. I've kind of seen this for decades now. And it's kind of taken this, I suppose, for people to realise that, and just look at the list of owners in the Premier League. Like, these are people who for the most part, are corrupt. They're morally bankrupt. And I don't think they can ever fathom or understand. It's not within their kind of viewpoint to understand the emotion, the value, the connections that people have with football clubs. They view them purely in the prism of finance and big business. And that's now being totally exposed, and it can't be refuted.
Do you think this point was coming anyway, regardless of whether or not a Super League was the thing that pushed them over the end? Because it's been said so many times over the last few days, Daniel, that this is nothing new, the greed that has existed, especially in British football over the last little while.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, these people and these owners, and they view these solely as businesses. Like, make no mistake about that. And they see these as businesses. They're involved. Normally, the people who own these clubs are involved in things like, you know, the wholesale theft of resources from countries, or the, you know, extractive industries that are destroying the planet. And what they see is extracting maximum profit and shareholder value. That's their only aim here. They just view these as items on balance sheets. And it goes against the very essence of sport. The places that these clubs have come from, working class communities, giving people a sense of community and identity, are so far from the minds of these people. And this is a natural extension of where the game has been going for decades. And you know, personally, I'm really delighted with it, because it just shows it for what it is. And I think that it'd be really interesting now. What I fear is that this should be the kind of tipping point that forces people to analyse what football is about and bring it to a better place. But I fear now that the status quo that we had last week is going to be accepted as some kind of utopia, rather than use this opportunity as a moment to push back against where the game has been going.
Can I ask, when you looked at this through the prism of your own role with Bohemians, and I guess as somebody deeply involved with the League of Ireland, like, to put it bluntly, did you see kind of like a sense of slight opportunity here, even at the end of the day when these conversations are happening? Do you think that this could have some sort of knock-on impact positively for Irish people and their relationship with their local League of Ireland clubs?
I'd hope so. I wouldn't view it as, like, it is an opportunity, of course, because if people question their allegiance, say to Manchester United or to Liverpool, these clubs have bigger fan bases in this country than League of Ireland clubs. We know that. So that it presents an opportunity in that sense. What I'd worry about, though, is I think personally that we look at the league here in the 60s and 70s, we've lost several generations of people to the live game in Ireland, to the live football experience, and what that experience means, what it brings. And people, and the majority of football fans in the country, have maybe began to consume football rather than to be a part of football. And they're two very different things. To consume football through a TV, or to consume football from a distance as some kind of soap opera, is an entirely different experience, and to me a lesser experience, than going to a game locally and engaging with, you know, the people in your area, with, you know, intergenerationally, people from different backgrounds and classes being together and experiencing sports. They're two very different things. And I think the game of football has lost that element. And that's not something that's easy to bring back. And I hope it does happen, but time will tell.
Stewie, a lot of the discourse over the last couple of days has been, you know, around Liverpool's Shankly roots and the homage to the working class communities, and, you know, the same for United and Newton Heath and all that. But we've even spoken to you on this programme when you released your song Superstar about Wes Hoolihan and the importance of street football. Do you think what has happened over the last 48 hours will remind people that football is a game that comes from working class communities, that maybe that's been forgotten with these the big clubs and the big bucks and the owners that only care for themselves? But do you think this whole situation will have reminded people of football's true roots?
I do, yeah. I think that's exactly the result of it. I think the last year in particular has reminded people of their roots. I mean, people have gotten very nostalgic over, obviously because of the pandemic, and people have been locked up, and they've really started to think about, you know, different things, their whole life style, their culture, what matters to them. And from my point of view, I know I definitely sort of started to look back over the history of the game here and realized, you know, that, you know, it wasn't all that bad at times. When you think back to, I know Liverpool fans are thinking back to the Bill Shankly times, and Dan alluded to the 60s and 70s in Ireland here. There was a huge, connection with the community, with the game here. You know, there used to be huge crowds going to Daly Mount Park and other stadiums around the country because there was a connection there, wasn't there? We didn't have, we didn't have live television. We didn't have, TV didn't come into the late 60s or maybe even the early 70s. So we weren't exposed to, football in England or whatever the case may be. So people felt connected to the football club here. And then, of course, that all changed. And what's happened as a result of that is that it has gradually become this monster. It's out of control. It's completely out of control, and it's in the hands of people. And Dan again articulated it extremely well. I couldn't disagree with anything he said. I think he really nailed it. Football is now in the hands of people who just want money and power. And you only have to look at Real Madrid. They've been bailed out by the city of Madrid twice in the last 20, 25 years, to the tune of hundreds of millions of euro. And so, therefore, off the back of this, I'm delighted that, this has kind of come out, and I'm delighted with the reaction. But I'm very much the same. I reacted kind of quite differently to this. I've switched off to the Premier League stuff probably 15 years ago, to be quite honest with you. I just seen it. I lost interest. I was playing at Shelburne at the time, and I was very, very much a part of what I felt was something that was changing here. It didn't transpire in the end, but it gave me a sense of belonging. And I think that's hugely more important than anything else. So that's what I think what needs to come out of this. I think there's an opportunity now that we re-engage soccer fans in this country with the game here and try to maybe offer them that connection that maybe they've been missing for a long period of time.
Dan, for someone who is feeling a bit like Stewie at the moment, and maybe someone who has followed English football or has been a Liverpool or Manchester United fan or Arsenal fan from Ireland in recent years, but maybe feels a little bit disillusioned with the whole thing at the moment. And I don't know how many people are going to be put off Premier League football in Ireland, or Premier League Irish people who are put off the Premier League. We don't know how many people are going to be affected that way. But hypothetically, looking at the situation of their club and seeing the greed at the top of club ownership in England. But maybe for someone who doesn't have a League of Ireland allegiance at the moment, or maybe a team in their locality, whether it be their town or county, what do you say to those people who maybe need a little bit of convincing that the League of Ireland is where it's at for them?
First of all, I'd say come to Daily Mount, but they do well to get a ticket to Daily Mount the last couple of years, to be honest. Thankfully, our games have been sold out. But now, look, Stewie absolutely got to the heart of it there. You know, you need to look at, like, what is football about? It does provide people, like Stewie said, the words belonging and connection. And that is what it's about, you know. And I think that as a society, you know, in Ireland, if we just think back for a second, and it seems like this is divergent from football, but it's at the core of it. People have extremely transient living situations because of the cost of property. So they rent and they have to move consistently, and that leads to isolation from their family groups. So they grow up in an area they can't afford to live in. Less people are involved in the church, obviously, right, for obvious reasons. But that was a cornerstone of Irish, you know, kind of sense of place and sense of connection for a long time. That's past. Jobs, people have very transient work situations. You know, they don't have vocations anymore. And then you look at things like unions and things become less relevant. So a lot of the touch points in people's lives have gone. This sense of who you are, what you're about, you know, something that's consistent in your life. A lot of things that were taken for granted are now removed. And they've mainly happened because of big business and greed. You look at something like the work situation or the housing situation, that's born out of greed. And to then take something like football, that's more of an emotional experience than an irrational thing. Like, why do you attach yourself to a football club for your whole life? You know, it's a strange thing. It's more of a spiritual and a kind of an experiential thing. And for that to be taken then by big business isn't acceptable. Because it destroys the essence of football. Football isn't a business. It's a game and it's a sport. And business can have a role to play, but it can't consume it. And I think that's what's happened. And by going to a League of Ireland game, I think you get a far more purer sense of the game. And that shouldn't sound like romanticism or, you know, I'll come to a rickety stadium. No, we do need to improve facilities, and there has been great improvements made. But what's funny for me is, like, we played at Chelsea last year. This has happened in all League of Ireland grounds. I'm sure Stewie has examples, but it was Frank Lampard's first game as manager, and there's a lot of Chelsea fans in the stadium. The older, kind of hardcore Chelsea fan in his 50s or 60s loved Daily Mail. Absolutely loved it. And was saying, this is, I'm close to the pitch, you know, I don't have to sit in my seat. There's people with flags, I can get a pint of beer, right? Loved it. The younger fans, they've grown accustomed to something that's portrayed on television, that's built on death, like Stewie mentioned, that isn't sustainable. And that is kind of a sideshow. And that's what they now have come to expect. So I just tell people, have a dose of, what football should be about, what it provides. And League of Ireland can provide a brilliant experience. And that's what the game should be about.
That's a really interesting point, because I think that transience was almost something that the Super League, maybe in an oblique way, actually wanted to embrace. This trend of younger people supporting players as much as teams and having loyalty to the person that they've unpacked in FIFA Ultimate Team. That is something that Florentino Perez wanted to embrace, but it isn't something that's sustainable.
Yeah, absolutely. And this idea, and I've seen the term legacy fans, to talk about we're willing to discard legacy fans and move to the fans of the future. This isn't a tech company, yeah. You know? And I just, again, once you get into these kind of areas of speak, what it seems like is consultants and people involved in global business have put their mechanisms of control that can work in loads of industries where they can make a vast amount of money. But you're putting these kind of business terms on top of something that has its base and its value lies in emotional connection. People's emotional connection to football, whether it's a player, a fan, a member, a community, that's about emotional connection. It's often irrational. And you can't rationalize that just down to the highest dollar or the highest euro. And that's what they've attempted to do here, and it's backlashed. There's been a backlash against it.
On the game, the game's being run by agents and big business. You know, there's extortionate amounts of money being traded on players here. 50, 60, 70 million. Agents are getting half of that. It's disgusting what's happening, you know. And I'd be a little bit more, this whole deal, there may be a lot more malice behind this than just having this, you know, utopian Super League where everything is wonderful and great. It's a little bit like Wall-E, you know, the scene in Wall-E where everybody just are on the ship and everything's handed to them and screens and it's perfect. I think there's a lot more malice involved here. You know, you're talking about big business getting involved with banks. They're effectively trying to ring fence their future, secure their own future against economic downturns or whatever. And I don't think it's a coincidence that this happened a year after COVID came in. Mm. These football clubs are probably looking at their bank balances and going, hey, we could be in trouble if this keeps going, guys. Let's get a few banks in here and let's see if we can try and secure ourselves and so on. So it's you know, people, education is huge here. Dan, you're very well read on the past and what's the history behind all this. And I think it's important that people understand that as well. You know, there's a history here. This hasn't just happened in the 10 years or since 1992 when the Premier League came in. There's a history that goes right back. I'm talking about, you know, the Irish connection here. It goes right back to the post-World War II, the 50s, the 60s. Huge unemployment in Ireland. People were leaving the country in their droves in the 50s, and they got this connection that they weren't getting here. They got it with England and so on and so forth. We won't get into that now, but history is a huge part of it all, and educating people on why League of Ireland is in the state it's in at the moment. You know, there are reasons. You know, it's not just because the game is crap here. The game is fantastic. We have wonderful, fantastic players. You only just have to look at the quality that's on the pitch and the quality of goals that we see week in, week out. It's just as an overall product, it's perceived in the wrong way because people don't understand.
The point you make there about COVID as well is at the base of all of this, it's no coincidence whatsoever that this is happening in the middle of a pandemic. It's a reaction to an emergency situation. And I wonder, Daniel, is there a challenge that you have faced that's similar to this, that this sort of philosophical dilemma between commerciality and sticking true to your roots, which I'm sure is at the heart of every football club at the moment? You've got your survival instincts, but also being true to what Bows are as a football club. Could you talk us through any of those dilemmas that you've had to face?
Yeah, I think, look, for us, and it's funny because the last 12, 18 months has been, you know, it's been so challenging for so many people. And for us, the Daily Mail Park's hosted games since 1901, and for the first time in Daily Mail's history, there's been games with no crowds, you know. And that puts it into context when you look at a stadium that's hosted games for 120 years. But, you know, what was funny about the last 12 months, and I've seen Sligo's figures released too, for member-owned clubs, it seemed that we were able to move through this period, you know, still with difficulty, but in an easier fashion than privately-owned clubs, because we saw our membership increase during COVID to its highest level ever. And people paying a premium to be a member of a club where the main kind of gain that they get is admission to games, and they knew that wouldn't be possible. But we saw a really, you know, a great loyalty from our fan base, an increase of members, a significant increase during COVID, and people spending on merchandise and really helping us move through the period. So that was really reassuring. Also, look, you know, it was well publicised that the Matt Doherty windfall that arrived, you know, at a perfect time, you know, last summer. But ultimately, you know, when you say the question between clubs and their commercial partners as a members-owned club is one that sits there. And I think there are certain areas, like, you know, there's certain industries that have a big profile in the game, you know, that aren't particularly positive to the game. You know, it's obvious what that one is. And I think clubs have to make decisions on those. And there is always a line there, because ultimately commercial income can help you to grow your club. But what I'd say is more important, private-owned clubs have investments, and they've got private investment, and they can turn that tap on or off. But a member-owned club and a community club like Bohemians, or say someone like Sligo Rovers, you operate in an ecosystem and an environment where your investors are ordinary people, and a large group of ordinary people. And the more you can kind of behave in a positive fashion where they have a sense of pride or a sense of respect for what you do, then they're more likely to get involved with you as a club. They're more likely to buy a shirt if they're far away, or come to a game if they're close by. And ultimately, it's having those kind of a positive outlook and act in a positive fashion that will make the club stronger, and that improves the football on the pitch and allows you to navigate a period like now a lot easier. So I think it's not as simple as accept, you know, all money that comes your way commercially, because if that goes against the values of the club, and ultimately what we're talking about here and what's happened over the last week is about core values. If they're destroyed, then the football club ends up with no real position. It's just a business then. And again, the football clubs are so much more than that.
Dan, can I just ask, and Bo's social media channels have posted out this video that I know did the rounds a year or two ago, whenever it was, directed by Jamie Goldrick, I think. The great video of the kid in his Manchester United jersey up in his bedroom, and his dad calling him down and watching a match on TV. And I think that you know, the slant you were going with was terraces, not TV, and getting fans out and kids out especially to these matches. Have you sensed something around the League of Ireland in recent years that there is more of a desire for people in the localities to get out and watch matches regularly? And how do you think the events of the last 48 hours will impact that?
Yeah, I think that make it more likely. Ultimately, the concept for that video came from the fact that we began to see people come to Daily Mount who ultimately were Premier League fans, but they'd seen their kids just kind of be consumed by technology. Kids who are watching iPads and watching TVs, and this was an opportunity for them. And that, the video kind of gets to the idea that you'd spend time with your kids, you know, and experience football as a family unit together in the real world rather than on a sofa. And that was the kind of aim of it. And we have seen a lot of that. And I do think that again, back to the values question, like if everything in your life is consumed by big business and then the sport you want to get involved in is also consumed, I think people are aware of that. And they're maybe saying, right, this isn't a positive thing. And I do think it will hopefully bring people two games here, like, and Stewie has said there, like, quality of football is brilliant. Like, we were at the wrong side of a 3-1 defeat last night to Sligo. Have a look at the goals from the game. You know, four fantastic goals, a brilliant game of football. You know, it could have been 2-2, it ended up being a 3-1 defeat for ourselves, but a brilliant game of football. And I think that what's happened here, I hope, will make people question, you know, what these clubs are about, because it's been going on for a long time. And if we resort to the status quo, as I said, as we were last week, where it's just okay, we're happy with the revamped Champions League and the Premier League, and people then forget this, I think that's an opportunity lost.
Without question. Sherry Byrne, last one to you then. This obviously comes at the back of 9 months or so without fans and grounds. There is this distant relationship that people will have with the Premier League anyway, that's only become more distant over the past year. Will that drive people towards their nearest football ground here? Are you encouraged for the future as a result of the way British football has acted over the last little while?
I am encouraged. I've been encouraged for a while, and not just off the back of what's happened in the last couple of days, but even through, you know, just from talking to people in my own job before COVID, I felt there was, you know, these Barstools football fans that were starting to kind of maybe question why they even watch some of the Premier League stuff, and they were trying to re-engage back with Irish soccer. So hopefully this might be a big part of getting soccer supporters here to start looking a little bit more locally. Hope we will definitely get crowds back in at some stage this season. I'm sure of that. And it's you know, I think we need to realize we need people on board. You know, this is going to be a very, very difficult thing to grow and try and change mentality here, but we need people to engage with it and to send a message out and just to bit by bit just try and improve year on year, and hopefully this will be the straw that broke the camel's back, maybe.
Yeah, I've already got messages in my own WhatsApp group of people saying that they want to buy Bo's season tickets. So bad news for you, Stewie. Good news for you, Daniel. Lads, thanks a million for taking your time this morning. Really appreciate it.
Cheers, thanks.
Thanks, boys.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.